People who suffer from schizophrenia can tickle themselves. Welcome to Two Thirds.
Are you
going to
interrupt
Focused.
Him or should I?
Oh, you totally should.
I'm Rasmus.
And I'm Red.
And I'm not hangry anymore.
Good.
That's a good improvement.
Yes. Yeah.
So how the fuck are you doing?
I'm out of time.
Yeah. We noticed.
Yeah.
Not only late, but you were on the wrong day.
Yes. In my head it's still like Friday of last week, so I have no idea what day it is. I had no idea we were recording tonight.
I mean, it's all Rasmus' fault when it comes down to.
Always.
Because he wanted to dance with somebody.
Apparently, yeah.
Oh, always. Always. All of them. I danced with all of them.
Yeah, that's what we thought. So, and we have a new recording platform. So we're going to test that tonight. See if the sound is better, is the quality better, if the picture is better, if the editing is easier, and so on. So if it's not, sorry.
Also,
we'll get back
also
to...
blame me because it was my idea. Also
exactly. Yeah, if we exactly. talk over each other, it's just for testing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's a good excuse. I'll remember that one.
How are you, Jan? Why are you not angry anymore?
Oh, I had a business-related appointment today that made me drive not halfway across Germany, but it felt that way. Traffic's been crazy today. The weather has been the typical April weather. So I had everything today from sunshine over stormy winds to hail to just rain showers.
Nice.
Yep. Had a good appointment though, and I just got back because I mean people can drive on normal days, and it was even worse today, so
yeah.
Made it back just in time. I took some jalapeno chili poppers. I decided on junk food and threw them into the oven. Unfortunately, the oven was not preheated and they were quite frozen, so it was more along the ways of jalapeno popsicles than jalapeno nice. Poppers.
I think at least they had some crunch left, right?
Exactly. And I'm not starving anymore, so that's good. Yeah.
Yeah.
How about you guys? Oh, was it already about my week? Because...
Yeah.
Oh my God, what did I do? Last weekend was absolutely wonderful. So Rasmus claimed that he brought the good weather from Norway. That if that doesn't make him a liar, I don't know what. No, the weather was fantastic. On Saturday, I helped a friend of mine in his garden. Well, he was kind of lying to me, and if he would have said the truth, then I probably would have shown up. The gardening that he mentioned with a barbecue that comes afterwards was actually turning out into, hey, let's make a new wall, like a new reclining wall out of concrete. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we mixed 10 bags out of 40 kilo concrete by hand.
Oh, that.
Yeah. Ooh, plus,
that's a good workout.
Yeah, doing all the encapsulating of it, doing all the drilling, the rebar. But it turned out really nice. So.
And you still call him friend?
Yeah. He knows too much.
Okay, that's good.
Good answer.
Yeah. Then after that, after the weekend on, let's see, Monday was a normal day at work. And Tuesday I took a day off because it was Steph's birthday.
Nice. Happy birthday to her.
I'll tell her.
Yes.
So we had a really nice day. There's a market hall in Stuttgart that we went to for breakfast. Had some Italian breakfast and a glass of Prosecco. And then afterward went into Esslingen.
Sounds terrible.
Yeah, exactly. She took a appointment at a cosmetic studio, for cosmetics. Yeah. And I picked her up afterwards. We went a little bit of shopping. So it was a really relaxed and nice day. Enjoyed it.
No, shopping can't be relaxing. That's not how the world works. Shopping
that's where the Prosecco comes into play.
Okay. That's why we had it before shopping.
Oh, yeah, of course.
I would have it during shopping. To make it easier.
I'll remember that for the next time, for next year.
Can you actually drink whilst you are in the street in Germany?
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah?
I think it's encouraged.
No, it might not be encouraged. That's the funny thing about Esslingen, though, because we have the oldest sparkling wine manufacturer, or Yeah. It's kind of like the same quality as champagne. It's just not allowed to call that there. So usually, for example, on Saturdays, people go to the market, and the market is right in front of Kessler, like the place that sells the sparkling wine. So where they manufacture it, and where they also have like a bar on, it's like a, how do you call that? It's like a patio area. And you see on Saturday, they open up at 10 o'clock in the morning. And you basically see a crowd of people moving towards Kessler at like 1 minute. Like you hear the bells of the churches around, and you see like a small crowd of people like moving towards Kessler with all their market stuff they bought. And they stand there at 10 o'clock in the morning having a glass of champagne. And that's completely normal for us.
Damn, it's early to be drinking champagne at 10 in the morning.
That's the perfect time for it. Like, if you would stand there with a beer, people would look at you like going like, oh, look at that guy. Like, oh, what's wrong with him?
But I'm not saying it's
completely fine.
I'm not saying that 10 o'clock is early to be drinking. I'm just saying that 10 o'clock is a little bit early to be drinking sparkling stuff like beer, champagne, or sparkling wine. But anything with bubble in it, way too early.
No, it's like, every American would also argue with you, because that's the time for mimosas and stuff like that. That's what you have for breakfast, if you have something to celebrate, or it's just Saturday.
Or just an excuse.
Exactly. No, it's like, we always joke about and said that Essling is a little bit special when it comes to that. Yeah. No,
makes the city more fun, though. If everybody's like enjoying having a time together at 10, you know, whatever day of the week it is, just to have a drink and chat, must be very enjoyable as a like general mood of the city.
You know, that is the fun part about it, because Steph and I are early risers, and we usually go to the market at like 8 o'clock in the morning, like to 8:30. And they also have like a little barista coffee place.
Yeah.
And this is where we actually already meet a lot of our friends for a coffee in the morning. Then everybody does their shopping, then we get together, and there's also like little tapas stands where you can get some tapas, and sometimes we have like a little bit of breakfast there. And then just after 10 o'clock, usually like you transition over to Kessler, you have a glass of sparkling wine, you meet other people that are just getting up from the day before and like directly meet you there. You have a nice conversation with them, you catch up on the day, you make your plans over the day. For maybe like when it's nice outside, a barbecue in the afternoon, and then everybody goes home.
That's fine. So we have the same tradition in France. Like it's the morning snack, as it's called, around 10. For people who are starting their job around 6 or 7 in the morning, is the time they take a break to drink a little bit, eat a little bit, and then go back to work. And traditionally, it was like white wine at 10 in the morning with dry sausages and bread and stuff like that. So we definitely have the kind of the same thing here, but it's a tradition in decline. Because the government is trying to do a lot to reduce the amount of alcohol that French people drink.
Yeah, but it's sad because it's not really about the alcohol. We call it the lazy Saturday.
And it's
you go to the market, it's taking the speed out of everything. Of course, there's stuff you have to do over the day. And I mean, if I know I have to drive somewhere, like later on, I'm not going to drink some sparkling wine, then I'm just going to like get something, like maybe another coffee or so. But I think it's just nice if you have nothing to do and you know the Saturday is just for getting your week's groceries.
Yeah.
Relaxing, meeting up with friends, catching up, and it's all. We seldom call people to meet them. We're just there and you meet them. And I think this is one of the nice things, because like everything is so planned through nowadays. But that's enough of my sparkling wine escapades. How about you guys? How was your week?
Talking about escapade, Raz, you traveled this week.
Yes.
Please say more.
Yes. Okay. Move on. Red.
Yeah. I had a semi-spontaneous trip to Hamburg to hang out with Ellen and Pia and Leo.
Nice.
And do the usual shenanigans that I guess we end up doing. It's semi-spontaneous because we planned it 2 weeks in advance.
Yes. quite some time.
Reasonable time to be planning travels and stuff.
I think so. And the best reason for it was Leo, of course, is working a lot with fabrics, and I need new clothes. I need...
Ooh.
The whole thing was to have Leo...
Oh, it was take a business trip.
And that's what my accountant knows.
Okay. Yeah.
I got my usual dose of museums and all of the good things, and also we stayed up stupid late talking and watching. Pia has this fascination for Hjem til Jul, a Norwegian TV series that is on Netflix.
Okay.
That I have never seen, but now I have seen. Now I've seen a fair bit of it.
What is it about?
A 30-something woman who is getting pestered by the family that she hasn't don't have a boyfriend yet. And
okay.
How she lies and says, like, no, I have a boyfriend. He will come for Christmas and in 20-something days.
Okay.
And then she has to spend 20-something days trying to find a boyfriend.
Okay.
It's really fun. It's quite interesting. And I was doing there, like, sitting there doing all of the Norwegian commentary and saying, like, oh, so, like, the party suite, that is a stereotype. That's a true thing. He is exists. That whole thing, yes, that is him. And, like, other things are like, oh, they're going skiing. And I immediately go, and like, oh, yeah. I mean, you can clearly, I was pointing out, like, so she is wearing, like, 20-year-old clothing for ski attire. And he is wearing the sporty kind, really sporty kind. So, I mean, it doesn't matter to the story, but
I was calling those things.
And of course, they were asking me about, oh, so where's this person from and this person from? And I was like, different parts of Norway, maybe Bergen, maybe other places, trying to guess by the. And I mean, it's Norway, dialects are diverse. You can do that kind of thing. But
so it was the Rasmus cut, not the director's cut.
I didn't talk that much. Besides, all of the other ones had seen this already, not me. That's my excuse anyway. But yes, fun times, lots of laughter, lots of... We had pizza and beer in the park and walked a lot around through Hamburg. And
oh, sounds like a good day.
Got to see Leo's workshop and things like that. So it was nice. Both workshop and work, which was really fun.
Cool.
Got a bit of...
So what kind of clothing... you will get
a tutu.
Nice.
Yeah.
Complete.
I'll no, just go with that.
No, I just shut up.
It is no,
black.
Color.
Come on,
black one for blacksmithing to be wearing in the workshop. That's great. Love it.
No, I'm going. I need some nice clothes. I don't have any nice clothes.
Yeah, but you can still buy one. And, so.
Yeah, I did. I did buy some nice clothes around Christmas, but they're not good for dancing. So that's the whole focus. I need some clothes that look good, and not only look good, but look good on me, and that also I can dance in, which is apparently a bit of a weird combination of criteria.
Do you have to wear something specific when you go dancing? Or is that
just comfortable loose clothing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay,
so that's the only criteria, kind of like. And talking to Leo,
I have a few ideas. Then
it was like I can almost see like a Rolodex of like fabrics just scrolling through their mind, going like, oh, this one, and maybe this one, and things like that. So I forgot to ask about the timeline of things, but probably hopefully by the time this comes out, I'll actually have a conversation and ask like. Do I need to return and try them on? How do we schedule things, and when would it be finished? But I don't know. We'll see. I'm at least very much looking forward to it. Also because I've signed up for a couple of new events also in Sweden. So
nice. Business related or just for dancing?
Oh dancing? Yeah, it is definitely business related.
Oh yeah.
That's what.
You can see, like, I was trying to keep the straight face.
Anyway, Red, how about you?
What about me? I don't know. I told you, I in my head, it's still Friday of last week, so I have no idea where the week went. I don't know what I did. Nice and productive, but I don't remember. So I'm good.
I've never lost an entire weekend, especially not.
Me neither. It's the first time, so I'm really getting old.
And you're still not really drinking.
And still not drinking.
That's even more impressive.
I've been busy doing stuff. I know that, but what? I'm not sure. Good. Oh, I got knives in the mail.
Yay! Yeah.
So I did that. I didn't start working on them per se, but I took a look and planned in my head what I'm gonna do or what I want to do. So technically, I started working on it. But yeah, other than that, I have no idea where the week went. So I'm gonna just.
That's usually a good thing, though.
Yeah. Maybe. I don't know. I'm not sure. Usually I would be like, I've been very busy. It was a fun week and it went very quickly. But today I'm like, I can't remember what I did this week, and that's worrying me a little bit. But no, apparently it was a good week because I'm in the good mood. The house is clean and the cars are good and I did productive stuff. So yeah, good week apparently. But I can't tell more about that.
Are you a living example of like no news or good news?
Somehow, maybe sometimes. I tend to worry when I don't get news from people. I'm like, I wonder if they are okay, because I didn't get the news recently for a long time. So I'm more in the pessimistic side of things when it comes to people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, cautious or like, yeah, worrying a little bit, pessimistic. But when it comes to me and my week, if nothing happens, that's usually a good sign. I aspire to a quiet life most of the time. So if nothing noticeable happened, it means that it's been a good week, quiet week. And that's fine. That's good. Well, I did change the water of the tank fish today for the goldfish that we have.
That's a sentence. There we go. Yes. Yeah.
Well
done, you.
Yeah, I did that. I'm pretty proud of myself. It took me an hour, though.
Yeah.
Other than that, I have no idea what I did. I'm so sorry, guys. I don't tell you more.
It's a single goldfish?
Single one, yeah.
Okay. Ponyo. So Nemo number three?
Why?
Because friends of mine have a goldfish and I don't think it's like a pure goldfish, like something else, but they also like whenever it dies, they replace it with another one.
But that's the normal thing.
It's just like, whoa, and they call him Nemo, and I'm just like, oh, but Nemo they just one, went out, they go three, up yeah. with numbers. Mm. So yeah, I'm like, Nemo number three looks pretty healthy. And it's like, yeah, that's because it's Nemo number four. I'm like, okay, next.
No, don't say that, because if the name is Ponyo, so if Ponyo dies, it's going to be the end of the world for the kiddo. So we are taking good care of her because she's
a good name for a fish, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, we think so. So that's why we chose it.
Oh, Ponyo will live forever.
It's growing and...
Exactly. What? It will slightly change colors over time and maybe a little bit in size, but it will always be Ponyo. Never die.
So, yeah, it's been my week. Busy week that I can't remember.
Apparently.
Yeah.
Apparently the busy week and a good one. So, yeah.
Mm. Jan, you had a topic for us.
Did I? Yes, I actually did. I want to... kind of keep it, I would say, positive. I mean, we always talked about it in the past, how we like to procrastinate sometimes, and how we...
No.
Okay, some people like to procrastinate, and that's just like, oh, I don't have the right tools, I don't have the right stuff. This time I want to talk about like the feeling that you have when you have exactly... like when you found all your marbles. when you have everything you need for a project and for different reasons of, yeah, like how you feel about it. So for an example, this is the reason why I came up with it. The other day I did something in the garden and I needed to pre-drill some holes and put some screws in it. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is a really small task, but I had the wood I needed for it. And the best thing about it is, in the past, because I never splurged on tools, I always had one cheap battery drill that died at one point. And instead of one, I bought two branded drills, like one a hammer drill and a normal one with the same battery system. And I was able to put the drill bit into one, put the bit into the other one, the Torx bit into the other one, and I went up, and the whole thing took 5 minutes, and I felt incredibly happy, because in the first time in my life, you see how the professionals pre-drill with one drill, and without having to change the drill bit, I could just take the freaking screw and just put it in, and I'm like, oh, this makes me so happy. That project got like three times more fun. And then I realized, it's like, yes, actually you can do a lot of projects with not having the right tools or not having all the tools, but damn, it feels good to know you have to do something, and you just blindly, you can reach in, you pull the right tools out, you pull the stuff out that you need for it, like be it the right leather or the wood or whatever you need, or the metal, and just pull it out and directly start working without interruptions. Like all those little bumps in the road that usually keep you from doing something. And then at the same time, I remembered another project I wanted to do, and I know I have all the stuff for it, and I've been making excuses because I'm kind of intimidated by the project, and I usually like to, but I still need another tool for it, or this is not the right material. And I was just like, yeah, there's basically no excuse for me to not do that right now, other than being honest with myself that I really don't feel comfortable starting this project. And I was like, that's the flip side of it, if you have everything.
That's good enough. That's good enough. I mean, I totally get the feeling that you had, because the day I bought my screwdriver and that I had my drill and my screwdriver, I was able to work without having to change the bit between like drilling a hole and driving the screw in. That was freaking really glorious. That's so good. And to this day, I think buying the screwdriver was still my best purchase as a maker. It was like the best thing I ever bought. Saved me so much time. But anyway, I understand the feeling, but
I mean, this is really generalized. Don't take it too seriously, like just on the tools.
Not at all. But you said something that I was about to say as well. Having all the tools doesn't necessarily mean that you're ready to start a project or to do whatever you have to do. You still have to be in the right mindset, and not talking about procrastination, like, oh, I don't want to do it today because I would prefer to do this or that, or just lay on the couch and watch a TV show or whatever. You have to be in the right mindset and be prepared to start the project and know what you are doing and be focused and be present, be in the moment. Otherwise, you know that you're going to screw up the whole project and you will have to start over, or that it will take more time than planned or whatever. So being in the right mindset before starting a project is as much important as it is to have all the tools that you need to do the said project. Mm-hmm. If you see what
you're way too smart for that. Yeah. I wanted to keep that to like the end to say, it's like, I got all my marbles. Was the Peter Pan reference of like also being in the mindset for it. But yeah, go on, like ruin it.
I'm sorry. What's the current project? Let's go back. Let's rewind a bit. What's the current project that you need to tackle, but you are not doing because you are pretending that you don't have the right tools to start?
I have all.
Is there one?
Yeah, it's a stop. Like I'm still fiddling with stop motion.
Yeah,
and it's really just, I did some tests for it, and I used a couple of programs, and I know I can, like, I have everything for it. But I know if I start with this one, it's a little bit of a daunting project to start with. It's one of those assembly projects where you have those like hundreds of small parts like streaming together. And like always, I have that picture in my head of how it's supposed to look like.
Yeah.
And also further back in my mind already, that voice, it goes like, yep, nope, not going to happen. Never going to look that way. But I still have to, I just have to do it. But still I'm kind of holding back.
Finding excuses that you're doing for you. That's not an obligation that you have. So that's only something that you are doing.
Oh yeah, no, this is something
that you're enjoying.
Because I eliminated all the other processes. Over the years, like I got the correct lighting for it. I got my manual lenses that don't, because maybe you didn't know, but if you do stop motion and you have one that has an electronic shutter, or not electronic shutter, but how do you say that? It's basically the f-stop is controlled by the camera. If it's not manual, but an auto shutter. The shutter will always have a minimum difference between, because you're working with pictures, not with video. And that will make like a flicker, because it doesn't always close the exact same way it does like with the picture beforehand. So you have slight differences in the iris and how it closes and opens. And that will give you that flicker. You've probably seen it in some amateur stop motion videos, and that's when they're using the auto focus. There's some ways around that, but like the easiest way is just to get an old manual lens and adapt it to the camera, and that works perfectly. So I did that, like I did all the tests, no more flickering, everything works. Now it's really just on the work piece. Like I don't want to get too much into it, but basically just starting doing it.
Okay.
And it's a little bit daunting because I know if I make a mistake, and there's gonna be mistakes, and I shouldn't be like that, but
but mistakes are unavoidable,
of course.
Unavoidable. You will have to make mistakes.
it's all good, and I don't even want to concentrate on that, because I rather concentrate on the projects I have done, mainly around the house, where I just had the right tools or the material.
You know, I need to start working on two things in the house. The bathroom. We're gonna remake the entire bathroom. Oh, that's one of the thing that we did this week. We went to the hardware store to
look at stuff.
Yeah. Nice. Look at stuff for the bathroom. So we need to do that. I need to do that, and I need to finish the garage that I've started working on.
Oh, the man cave.
Last year, man cave kind of thing. And I have all the tools. The only thing I don't have is the will to do it at the moment. But the excuses that I had a few months back when I decided to put that on hold was, it's winter, it's cold, I don't want to be working in a garage outside. It's not technically outside, but it's still cold in the garage with all the dust that I'm going to make by sanding the walls and painting out everything. So I was like, I need a tool. I need to do it because it's going to be faster. So I bought like a big disc sander for the walls. So I bought that very cheap one, and I have it. And so therefore I'm supposed to make less dust, and it's supposed to be quicker, faster, better done. So I could have started like a long time ago. So I totally get the idea of, you don't have the right tool, but when you get it, you're still not in the right mindset, or think that the result is not going to be as good as you envision in your head, and therefore not doing it.
And I think this is one of our most common excuses, is usually, I'm lacking the tools to do it.
Yeah.
Because it's the easiest, because it's what you don't have at hand.
Do you remember when we were kids and we were playing with like Play-Doh? Everything it was perfect. It was just Play-Doh. We were pretending that it was like a starship or a car or a action figure or whatever. It was just fucking Play-Doh. It looked like nothing, but it was good enough for us. It was the perfect tool, the only tool that we needed to have fun for hours.
Yeah.
I think we lost that kind of drive, because we've seen so many people do great stuff with so many tools and great production value videos, that we kind of like, I want that my work looks the same, be as good as what they are doing. And you don't realize that what the people you are watching on YouTube are professional. That's their job. They do that all day, every day. So of course you're not going to be as good as they are, like, overnight. But the only tool that you need is really already in your head. It's like, yeah, your brain, but your hands, your like will to do it.
Yeah,
you will find a way. Even if you don't have the right tool, we find a way always. That's what we do. We are makers. We are problem solvers.
You know, emotionally, like, I completely agree with you when it comes to that. But still, like, our brains usually function differently. Because if we are intimidated by something, we usually use an excuse. And that, like, I took the tools for it. So I wanted to take that out of the equation. It's like, so if you have all the tools, if you have the right materials, and what I've learned from it is that some stuff that is intimidating will always be that way until you actually do it.
Sure.
But also having the right tools for a job and having the opportunity or the tools and the material at hand, and let's say, for fuck's sake, the skill, it makes it so much easier. It takes down that barrier. So you have something that you're usually intimidated by, mm-hmm. or you just don't want to do it because you know it's going to be a freaking mess and it's going to be time intensive, but you know you have all the right tools and stuff for it. I think that makes it so much easier.
Can I make it difficult? Because you're talking about basically trying to eliminate excuses.
That's pretty much what it comes down to. But it's not just eliminating the excuses. It's also that it makes your job exceptionally easier if you
I mean, I very much agree. That is why I enjoy having nice tools, and I really enjoy being able to spend money on nice tools because now I need this thing. It will more often than not, I will make more money by having a better tool, because it makes the job go quicker, and I can have hopefully a better result at the end.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't remove my personal hang-ups of getting a job done. It just makes me won't need to come up with a better excuse for not doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's something that I've been working on during the past few years, like just being honest with myself. I had the same excuse. I took the same excuse so many times. Like, I don't have the right tool to do it, so I'm not doing it. So I will wait till I have the money to do it. And you know, the whole like thinking process. I realized that it was just like a break that I put on myself that I don't need. Because it worries me more. It makes me feel guilty more than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided to just be honest with myself and say, yeah, fuck it. I don't want to do it today. Maybe I'm scared of the process that I'm about to start because I don't know it. It's the first time. I don't know it well enough. So I'm probably going to screw up the whole project and I will have to do it all over again. As it happened, okay. I didn't die, so nothing major, right? Didn't hurt myself, nothing major. I wasted a little bit of material, wasted a little bit of time. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So it happens, it will happen, and that's not a big deal. But being honest with myself, like saying, I don't want to do it today. I don't feel like it. I don't want to just, I've told you guys during the podcast, the previous episode, I don't want to work 10 minutes on that project and have to stop because I have something else planned for the day. I want to be able to be like focused for a few hours on that project because that's the way my brain work and that I feel comfortable working. So that's fine. If I don't have the time, if I don't have the will, if I don't have the energy, That's fine. I'm just trying to be honest with myself, like, nah, not today. Let's be productive in a different way.
Yeah.
It's not by fear of the project. If not, it's not because I don't have the right tools. It's just that I'm not feeling it.
Yeah.
But the question is, though, why don't you feel it?
Oh, it can be different reasons. I can just be tired. I can be in a bad mood. I can be stressed by something. I can be short in time. Like I said, like I only have 1 hour and then I will have to do something else, like fetch the kid at school or do the groceries or whatever. I can't focus. 1 hour is the time I need to really enter this like mindset of I'm completely into the project. So it takes me like half an hour to start working and be focused. And the next 30 minutes is the machine is going. Mm-hmm. So after 1 hour, I'm fully in the project, right?
Yeah,
that sounds still like an excuse, though.
Yeah, exactly. And
I understand why you say that, but I don't think it is. I think it's just knowing myself, and I think it's just knowing the way I work.
This is absolutely fine. I'm more focusing.
No, it's not. No, it's not. I want to be difficult.
Oh, you love to disagree. No, the thing is what I was more aiming towards was not basically what's left that keeps you from doing it in the end, but the joy of doing it. Of course, we have the both.
Oh.
We have those projects where we have everything. We have the time, we have the tools, we have the material. Everything is there, and we still don't feel comfortable with it. That's completely fine, and this is something we have to be honest with ourselves. This is basically when we run out of all the excuses, then there's that still hard wall that we hit. But the other part about it is it's like there's stuff that you really want to do, and then you finally have all the tools for do it. So like, or either you plan something and you save your tools and material for that. That is a nice feeling. But also the let's say if you have the situation where something comes up, like a short-term project, and you just look at it and it's like, yep, I have all of that right here at my disposal. And I think like this is the positive feeling, what I mean with it. This is something that comes over time, being it with experience and like just getting the tools over time. And then finally being at a point where you don't need to buy new tools for a project, but you have all the tools for a project that comes up. Kind of that what you feel by it, because I bet you both have it. I mean, Rasmus, for you, it's basically the job with your hammer. Like, but the same, the last time you talked about it was with the power hammer. Where your eyes lit up and it's just like, oh, this is a new toy. And now if I have stuff, I can just take it and it makes my life so much easier throwing it under the power hammer. Red, same thing when you had your laser, because there were so many projects that you needed to engrave something where before that you used your soldering iron and you didn't know how to do it. Now you can do all the design in CAD. Like those are the things where it's like not just one new tool, but when... not too specific on the tool, but just on a project, and you know you have everything you need for it, and that excitement, because that's what I felt the other day, and I'm like, oh, those are the upsides to it. It's like I'm not threatening myself. I'm actually really happy right now. I have everything I need, and like I can just go for it, and it breaks down.
Okay, sorry, hold on. Mm-hmm. You're talking like you just want to buy a new tool and need a good excuse for it. And this entire topic is like a whole episode you can give to Steph.
I would never do on It's a Festive Track. So no, just kidding. No, I'm really just kidding. No, because I had a feeling, because we talked so many times about it, like how we hold ourselves back and we think about the tools, and it feels so good actually being in this situation for once where you have all the tools. And you can just go and do the project. And I think this is something that a lot of us is underestimating. For once, because we grow with our project, as soon as we have the tool for one, we always aim for the next project without using the tools at our disposal for current projects.
Or the next tool. The next project or the next tool.
Exactly.
Remember last week, I think it was last week, I talked about like this, maybe 2 weeks ago, I don't remember, I don't care. This feeling that you have, when you are oscillating between boredom and the will of something new.
Mm-hmm.
I said it was someone, and it was not. It was Spinoza, I think, that said that. But anyway, the wanting to buy a new tool is the exact same thing.
Mm-hmm.
I have a project, but I'm bored. I don't want to do it because it's going to be long, time-consuming. It's going to be maybe difficult. So the excuse is to, and you are oscillating towards the, this new tool will make my life easier.
Yeah.
And then when you get that new tool, you're oscillating back to the way you were before. Like, I have the tools. I should do it. But I'm bored. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be time consuming. And then you're oscillating again towards the new tool that's going to make your life easier. Mm-hmm. See what I mean? So the feeling you are talking about, like, you have all the tools and you are doing the project and everything is fine and you're happy with it, to me, is the other side of the same medal compared to the feeling that you have when you don't have the tools, or you know yourself well enough to know that even with the tool that you have, you're not going to do it today.
Exactly.
It's the same thing. It's a different aspect of it, but it's still the same thing. The project is something that we decide to do. We have no obligation to do it unless it's for a client. But let's say something is broken in your house. Let's say you have a leak at your sink in the bathroom or the kitchen. You don't need any fucking tool. You're going to run towards it. You're going to shut the water down. You're going to do whatever you need to do to stop the leak. Then you will buy everything that you need at the hardware store to fix it, because it's an emergency. It has nothing to do with a project that is self-imposed, that you want to do for yourself because you enjoy making stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So the way you look at it is very different. When it's something for you, you can procrastinate all you want. You can search for all the tools that will make your life easier. You can wait for the money or the authorization to buy the tools that you think you need. But when it's for a client, when you have something to make for the end of the week, you're not going to order any new tools. You're going to do the thing that you're supposed to do with the tool that you have, with the material that you have, within the time that you have.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
So it really depends on how you see things. Is that an obligation? If it's for a client, for someone that you love because it's a gift, or if it's self-imposed, do you have a deadline? And that's exactly what it comes down to for me, for the garage or the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
My wife, we were discussing about the stuff that we want to change in the house, and she was like, we need a deadline. And I was like, fuck yeah, she's so right, because if you don't have a deadline, nothing will ever happen. That's you will true. Always look for an excuse, and the new tool that you don't really need, but will enjoy because it's fucking great to have a Makita screwdriver. It will change your life. So trust me, buy one.
Other brands are available.
Yeah, exactly. Makita,
that's my go-to brand.
At least 18 volts.
Not sponsored.
Yeah.
I wish we were. Anyway, it was painful. I said I took the time or make the effort to know myself and to acknowledge the fact that I was procrastinating or searching for excuses. And Raz, you didn't agree when I said, like, it's not, I'm just not feeling it. I was like, yeah, maybe that's just another excuse. Maybe it is. You're right. Maybe it is, but
there's two different sides to that. Like, one thing is knowing you have a problem, quote unquote. The other thing is being able to fix the problem.
Yeah,
but whatever. It's very difficult when you have the tool, when you have the time, when you have the materials, when you have the order from a client. If the only problem that's left and stopping you from starting the said project is, I'm not feeling it today. I know I'm going to screw that up. And therefore, I'm going to. Yeah. I know that I'm going to screw that up, and it will only be a waste of my time, my material, because the client is not going to pay double for whatever I'm going to waste.
No, that's fair. But, but my thinking better, is still...
Better used time when it's spent doing something else that will put you in the right mindset for the afternoon, the evening, or maybe the next day, when you will be 100% focused, will do a good job, and finish the project that you're supposed to be doing.
I would agree if all the tasks you are considering also then are prioritized in line with your scheme of what is urgent and important and not urgent but not important and things like that. Yeah. Because if... Which I think you said a while back that you'd sort of do that task prioritization thing every single day or something like it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So like, yeah, if you're still able to choose between the tasks that needs to be done, quote unquote, that day, then I don't see a problem. But if you then suddenly start to come up with excuses for why you maybe shouldn't or can't do the thing you earlier said that you should and must be get done.
That's not an excuse. That's, I think, where you are, I would say, mistaken, but you know what I mean. It's just a different point of view. Taking care of yourself is not being in, like, finding an excuse. Taking care of yourself to be able to be operational when you go to work is very urgent and important. That should be on top of your list.
Mm-hmm.
And so many people have been told, you have a job to do, so do it. And whatever, however you feel, if you are tired, if you are bored, if you are sad, that's not important because job comes first.
Mm-hmm.
There is a truth in that. Sure, there is some truth in that. But I see this mindset exactly as I see healthcare. If you don't take care of yourself, of your health, and you will have to stop doing your job, working, you have no income at all, right? You will lose your job. Fortunately, I don't live in one of those countries. But still, it's true. Right? So you have to take care of yourself to be able to work physically and mentally. Physically, it's kind of admitted nowadays that, yeah, you have to be fit, you have to be healthy, you don't have to be, to be able to work. So if you are ill, injured, sick, something is wrong with your body, let's say generally, you don't go to work because you need rest to be able to come back to your job. What has been neglected so for so long is the mental health aspect of the things. I've worked in companies. I've seen people spend more time at the coffee machine or chatting together than doing actual work. Sometimes it's just laziness. Sometimes it's just because that's the limit of what they can do during the day because of their mental state.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately for us, we are like Raz and I, we are self-employed, so we can only rely on ourselves to make money. So we don't really have this option to be sick, depressed, tired, or not in the right mindset to do our job. It's a little bit easier when you are in a company because you're supposed to be part of a team and therefore you can share a little bit the workload and rely on your colleagues to do a little bit of what you can't do that day, unless you are in a really shitty company where no one cares about the other people. But yeah, you know what I mean.
If I may push back a little bit.
Sure.
You're putting this in a very corporate setting at the moment.
I'm not trying to, but yeah, okay, yeah.
But speaking just for our sake.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you worry a lot about the future?
No.
More or less in general, or personally?
I don't anymore. I used to. I don't anymore. Okay, because I know...
But follow-up question to that.
Yeah?
Are you stressed out about money?
Depends.
So, I know I'm kind of leading the witness a little bit here, but if you'll allow
and that's why I'm not responding
so
100% to your question, because I want to know where you're going with it.
For me, a lot of the stress I feel is self-imposed, but it's self-imposed because of the jobs I say yes to.
Yeah.
And I also know that I might be so stressed out that I don't have the motivation or the faith in myself that I will no longer be able to do the job well.
Yeah.
But I also know that I am stressed because there's a job, because there's a deadline, because the pressure of doing this correctly.
Sure.
The only way to get to overcome that is to get to work and do the thing.
Yeah, but that's good.
Possibly even make mistakes required to learn so I can do it correctly. And I also know for myself, I feel a tremendous relief when a job is done, picked up, and a client is happy. So if my lack of motivation is coming from stress, and the stress comes from not having done the job yet, then sucking it up and going to work solves my stress. That's a way of taking care of my health long term. Because sitting here and being stressed doesn't solve anything, except for maybe give me the energy, maybe give me the time to process the job and figure out the problem. But lacking that, I need to go there and I need to do the thing.
I totally get you. I totally understand. I fully agree with you. But
wow, that,
let me finish. it's good stress, though. The stress that I feel, I don't know about you, but the stress that I feel when I get an order for a client, I only kind of feel it about the quality of the job I'll be able to deliver to the client. Mm-hmm. Usually the deadline is mine to fix to the client. Like, let's say I receive an email, someone wants something. I say, okay, it's going to take me this amount of days to finish it. Then there is the delivery. So you will get it in like 2 weeks, 3 weeks, depending where you live. Okay. So it's, if the client says, that's okay, that's fine. Let's do this first payment. Everything is on its way. It's up to me to meet the deadline that I decided, right? Yeah. So the stress that I put upon myself with the job, the amount of material that I will need, the money that I will get back from the project, and the delivery like schedule, the deadline, it's all my doing. And it, therefore, this pressure, this stress, is a drive for me to do the thing. It's positive stress. It helps me doing whatever I need to do. Okay? Mm-hmm. There is also the bad stress of stuff that we decide to do only for ourselves without any fucking reason or good reason, right? Again, this garage thing, we decided on deadline with my wife. There is no reason. It's like end of May, it needs to be done. Mm-hmm. Why end of May? No fucking idea. But we need a deadline. Otherwise, I can still procrastinate for another 3 months, pretending that I'm not in the mood, I'm too tired, I don't have the right tool or whatever. So it's creating stress for me to say, yeah, I really need to start doing this because the goal is end of May needs to be done. Because we need to move forward. If you don't move forward, you are like, it's a statu quo, and statu quo is not good for the head and therefore not for the body, because it's all linked in the health thing, right? So I really see a difference between having a client ask you for something, or a company that pays you money every month ask you for something. It's good stress. You want to meet the expectation of your employer and your all client, but it's the exact same thing. The employer and the client is the same thing. That's the person giving you money. When it comes down to you having a project for yourself, the thing is completely different. Therefore, I go back to what I was saying earlier. If it's only for myself, and I'm not feeling it, I'm just being honest, saying I should use my time today doing something else to be in a better position to tackle this project tomorrow or in the next like afternoon or evening or morning or anything.
I mean, that is kind of the same of you want to start a new project, but you need to clean up the workshop from the last project.
What I find really, really interesting about it is that my question was regarding the positive feelings that you get by having the right tools.
You should but know you us guys, by now.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's like it's really interesting listening to it because it's not like it's not making up excuses, but it's basically you guys more see the challenges and the more the negative parts of like having to start a new job instead of, for example, right, what you said with the. With a customer, with like getting the tools, getting the payback, like going out from the position that a customer asks you to do something and you get already, you know, you have the tools laying there, you even got the right material in store, like one of the rows rolled up, like more the positive enticing feeling that you get from that. But it's like, I have everything here, I can start directly, like even with the right mindset, like no distractions, you have the day off. So like without anything negative. So for me, it was more what I realized lately is that, and it's not, I mean, it's maybe a stupid example of saying it's because I have two battery drills now, but I accumulated some tools and also some, we can even go deeper and say knowledge, or I just have some scrapwood lying around. So for me, that just, you grow over time and it widens your capabilities and abilities to do jobs, especially that you feel comfortable about.
Yeah.
And it's just a lot easier, like, I don't know, if you have a kind of piece of a fence that's sticking over, that you have a saw that you can just saw it down, than having to take, like, maybe, I don't know, like a tiny mini pocket knife saw and have to saw it down. Mm. So, like, the thing of, like, oh, I have the right tool for that. I feel great about this. I can do this. And it's funny that you guys, or not funny, but interesting that you guys go directly into challenges, like even with the right tools that come up with something. I was seeing more lighthearted, or more from the point of being happy about having that, because you both are really...
Oh no, fucked up.
Come out wrong.
That's the word.
No. I wanted to say really well equipped with tools for your workshop.
Thank you very much.
Yes.
No, but I think it's you're completely right. Yeah, from a very like positive, lighthearted topic, we went down to something a little bit. Maybe too serious.
No, it's. I guess this is great because it's your job. Like your job is depending on it. But all I see basically
but not only,
is your whole tools and everything you got in the background, basically, or with rest.
No, but you're right, Jan. That's I fucking hate that expression, but I'm gonna say it anyway. It's a sign of something.
Ooh.
Yeah. Ooh. Oh damn! I said it. it reveals that. Exactly what Raz was saying earlier. He's relieved when the job is done, delivered to the client, and the client is happy.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time, Raz and I are working on commission. So most of the time, something is imposed to us. Either it's the deadline, the job, or the amount of money that we get back from the job, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there is always this... notion of stress, of obligation.
Uh-oh.
I definitely should do more of it. Raz is already doing it a little bit, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
Is produce something when we have the time on our decided schedule and with self-imposed obligation, like when Raz is making knives or roses, that he will go and sell at the market one day and make the money that day, right? I don't do that much. I don't produce stuff that I store and sell afterwards. And I should definitely do that more often because there is no stress. Even if I'm not feeling like finishing the project for the client because today is not the day, it's going to be a difficult thing that I need to do. It's going to be very detailed. It's going to be very tedious. So I have to be fully focused and not bothered by anything else. So I need these 4 hours of my time to be completely free, stress-free, mm-hmm. to be perfect on that part of the project, right? I don't have that, but I still can put some leather in the laser machine and engrave something that will be sold later.
Mm-hmm.
And that will eliminate every kind of stress or excuses for not doing it, because, as you said, I have everything already.
But let me ask you something, Red. Like, once in a while, I bet you get like ask for a commission for something, and you already mm-hmm. have the material and the tools at home.
Yeah, sure.
Do you appreciate that? Like, do you have the feeling like, oh, I have all of that here. That is great. Like, this is a good feeling because I don't have to go out and buy the tools for it or the leather.
Yes.
Because this is kind of the feeling what I was searching for, because I think this is something we often forget if it's not pushed in our face, that we can be really happy about it in that moment that we have the stuff.
I when I get an order for something, I have all the tools and all the materials. I'm happy because I don't have to do a leather trip, because the supplier is kind of far away. It mm-hmm. takes me like an hour and a half to get there. So it's going to take me half a day at least. Cost a lot of gas, and I'm going to spend money on materials. So when I don't have to do that, I'm happy. But I'm also, what if someone else asks me to do another of those things? I'll be short on materials. So I should definitely do a leather run today. And therefore I waste half a day and gas, and you know how my fucking brain works. I'm going to be short on material for next time. So I'd rather do it now. And I know that is an excuse for not starting the project at once. So maybe I need some kind of period of time to just get ready to start the thing. Mm-hmm. Maybe. So I'm working on that at the moment as well. Like, just be in the right mindset when the orders arrive.
Something to focus on. No, do not interrupt, Brad.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Who wants to start
first?
Yeah.
I have two. First of all, my lovely wife, whose birthday it was.
Yay.
But she becomes younger by the year, right?
Of course. Well, she doesn't get older. She just levels up.
Yeah.
She's a gamer.
In contrast to all of us.
Yeah, exactly. No,
Sorry, on that note, I got mocked for how much gray hair I have now.
Really? But you're still a baby.
Yeah, I know. It's really weird. It's weird for everybody involved.
Yeah, it's probably that all those podcasts. Not the age.
Oh, yeah. I am transforming into a stereotypical podcast host. That's what's happening. I'm not getting older.
Exactly. No, the first one is like my first focus is Steph, like for keeping my head straight for being there for me. The second one is also family. I focused on him before, my cousin, who's also my tattoo artist, and he also plays in the band.
Oh.
So Henry plays for a band called Soul Prison, which is a hardcore crossover band. Mm-hmm. And they've just announced that they're going to be playing at the Summer Breeze Festival in Germany, which is like one of the biggest festivals for heavy metal, hardcore, like all of metal music. So extremely proud and wish him the best for that. That's and they are really good. And I just checked the page. They're really on there. It's kind of surreal.
That's good. That's cool.
How about you guys?
How long have they been playing?
Oh, they haven't been playing for that long. I believe they started like either during Corona or right before that. That's at least the first time I heard of them was like 2021, I believe.
Wow. Okay.
They might have been longer.
Gigs. Playing reasonably big gigs.
Oh, yeah. And they already released an album and everything. And I mean, the music might not be for everyone. I personally dig it, but I can listen to it for like longer than an hour or two. Yep.
Okay. Red, what do you want to tell us about?
Yeah. Some time during the past week, I watched.
Also, there's Fallout now, the TV series. I really wanted to mention that one.
Yeah, fuck you. Sometime during past week, I watched Fallout on Amazon Prime, and it's really good.
Did you play old games?
I played the games. Yeah. I played a few games of the Fallout series. I really enjoyed it. I was extremely surprised by the fact that they totally nailed the spirit of the game
during
the TV show. You know how it is when you have a video game adaptation on TV. It's like, usually it's like, we are taking the name, we are taking the money, fuck you guys. We are not making anything like to please the players. It's been quite different recently, mostly with The Last of Us and The Witcher. I think it's the third adaptation of a video game that I watch, and at the end I'm like, fuck yeah, they nailed it. It's like, it's not perfect, but it's really close to it.
Well, the humor in Fallout is really special.
Yeah, and it is in the show as well. So I was like, they kept that. That's great. That's cool. Exactly the spirit of the video game. It's well played. It's well directed. The all the costume and stuff. You have the T-60 armor, which is like what everyone wanted to see. So that's great. That's a great TV show. I really enjoyed it. To be honest, I watched it twice. That's my week went.
Okay, I need to watch that one.
You think that might be
maybe. Or was it insomnia? I don't know. No, I really, really enjoyed it. It's worth a watch. It's not for everyone because it's a little bit gory. It's really special. But if you played the game, any of the Fallout game, and you liked it, I think the show, you will enjoy the show, I think, really. So, nice. And it's a lot of, like, quote unquote, new actors. Like, there is only one well known actor. I think his name is Wilton Gigons. I'm not sure, but he was playing in Justified a few years ago. He's really good. You've seen him in mini shows as a, like, supporting actor or whatever. He's really good. He's playing the ghoul. Is fucking fantastic. Watch Fallout if you haven't watched it yet. And next week, Tuesday, quickly, second focus of the week, the last episode of Shogun will be out.
If
you haven't seen it yet.
I haven't.
Do it. Okay. It's really good as well.
And before or after Fallout?
I recommend you to. It doesn't matter. I had decided to wait until the last episode of Shogun was released to binge watch all the 10 episodes. But as I was mistaken and saw that there was only 8, I started watching when the 8th one was out. So now I only have the 9th and 10th. To watch, so we are keeping that for Tuesday evening with the wife. Doesn't really matter. It's very different style, but kind of gory as well. I mean, it's 17th century Japan, so a lot of heads are rolling, if you see what I mean. But that's fine.
I mean, at that point, it was a national pastime.
Exactly. Yeah. But no, really good. Really good show. Extremely well done. Hiroyuki Sanada is absolutely wonderful, and after watching the show, I'm not surprised, and I think he now has the recognition that he should have gotten so many years ago. He's like now at the same level that was Toshiro Mifune a few years back. He's a great actor and totally deserves it. So Shogun, Fallout, very different, but both equally good shows. So that, nice. That's my focus for the week.
Cool. I will definitely get to those.
Yeah.
So my focus is Pia of Pempu Makes on Instagram for opening her home to Ellen and me and Leo for all of the shenanigans.
Yay.
And it has been a fantastic weekend. And even though it's been like a little bit of work, I brought my computer, I did the office stuff. We went to museum, looked at katanas and stuff and did research.
Nice.
Yay.
Of course.
Yay.
But it's been a fucking good weekend, and I kind of realized like I needed that. I needed to just hang out with friends, walk around, and laugh a lot.
That's good. That's great. Yeah. Perfect.
Very nice.
And also, of course, it's kind of fun when we go to Hamburg, and almost the first thing we do after fetching Ellen from the train station is we go to the Irish pub. And have a guess.
That sounds fantastic.
You should. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just really. Yeah. So Pia of Pempu Makes is focusing.
Nice.
That doesn't sound the way I'm speaking, but anyway.
That's okay.
Any last little tidbits? I have one, but you can go first if you have one.
Nope. Go ahead.
From my side.
Season 2 of Setting Up Shop is out and started. Came out Monday, that was. We have at least 6 episodes coming. Maybe a couple more, but we'll see.
Ooh.
Yeah.
How long was the first season?
That was 5 episodes plus the introduction one.
So 6 total? And you're aiming for more this season?
Maybe. We have recorded a few bits already, and we'll see how many more topics we can shake out before we realize that we are repeating ourselves.
There's plenty of topics that would be interesting for you to talk about.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's great. Cool.
Yes. That's it? Are we out of focus?
Yeah, I think yeah.
Okay. And if you want to be out of focus with us, you can do that at patreon.com/2thirdsfocused. And you can reach us collectively at 2thirdsfocused on any of the mostly social places, but you need to spell it out for all of these. Because Red is afraid of numbers when he made up the name.
It's still grammatically correct. That's why.
I know. I'm just saying it.
Grammatically correct, says the French guy.
Yes.
I mean,
By the way, have you seen that video of the guy explaining that English is just badly pronounced French? I will put the link in the shouts.
Do that. Because nobody will agree with you, even though you technically can be correct.
Yes.
Yeah. And you can get a hold of me at Rasmus Lohan and lewensmeyer.no. And I will have some new products coming there pretty soon, actually.
Cool. Me too. You can find me, not on Raz's home pages. On mine. You can find me at The Red Smith or Red Smith everywhere on the internet, and more specifically at theredsmith.com.
And you can find me at NerdAventor or Ian Maxwell on Instagram and YouTube, or in the comment section of Res and the Red. No, just kidding.
Nice.
Guys, take care.
Yeah, you too. Have a good week.
Thank you for listening. Bye-bye.